Welcome to That Farm Life, planting hope, harvesting strength. That Farm Life is a production of Eagle Farms at Williams Baptist University. On That Farm Life, we talk about that life that is that of a farmer and their family. We talk about the day-to-day grind, the good times, the tough times, and everything in between. Because farming is more than a job, it's a way of life. And we're here to offer opportunities to help you deal with the stress and strains of farm life through faith, family, and community with other farmers. Now here's your host, Stan Norman.
Hello and welcome to the podcast, That Farm Life. My name is Stan Norman. I serve as host of this wonderful ministry. And today we are delighted to welcome Kelly Smith to our podcast. So Kelly, I'm going to give a little bit of your bio here, and then I'm going to let you come in and fix everything that I said wrong or correct any oversights that I have.
Sure.
You currently serve as Director of Commercial Marketing with the Red Angus Association of America. You have had a multifaceted career in agriculture, and I want to know what multifaceted career in agriculture means in just a moment. After a number of years in the animal feed business, you have recently assumed this current role, helping market Red Angus brand around the country. Kelly, thank you for talking with us today. We're very honored to have you on this podcast, and we know you're going to give some good encouragement to our listeners today. So first of all, before we got on to this, you were telling me about your role in this association, but I want our listeners to hear this. Tell us what your role entails with the Red Angus Association of America. And for this Oklahoma boy that always equated Angus with Black Angus, I'm interested to hear about the Red Angus Association.
Okay, certainly. Just to give you an idea of what this is, a new position for me. This is, I've actually been on this job actually about 3 weeks. We talked all summer about the possibilities with this, and then we finally got together there about the 1st of September, and I actually started around the 1st of October. So this is a new position still, even though we've been ramping up here basically for 60 days for this thing, and a career of practice, I guess, if you will, things that hopefully prepared me for this position. But my position for the Red Angus Association of America today is I am the Director of Commercial Marketing. That is a national position that basically my role there is to promote Red Angus cattle, and predominantly in the areas with packing plants and with feedlots and those type of things. It would be that in the end of the line, I guess, if you will, for those cattle before we actually make edible beef out of them. And the time that that we're really, really making a difference. And you know, feedlots today, most of them are very large. The packing business has been dominated by four big packers, really, if you will. And so, it's a consolidated business narrowed down to just a few big players, if you look at it that way. So I will be working with all those people in this role, trying to push those Red Angus cattle, and also we will be working on some research projects just to prove the value and see where they fit in and that type of thing. So,
well, I'm going to put a shameless plug in for your help here. We recently opened our Eagle Farms processing plant, and we're ramping that up. And as is with true of all of our Eagle Farms initiatives, that is a workstation for our Williams Work students. I'm hoping that you're going to send us a little business our way and allow us to be one of the ones that actually processes a few of those Red Angus when we're ready to take them, you're ready to send them.
We could probably figure that out. I would tell you this. You just told me about this initiative that you have with this Eagle Farms and what you're doing and the work programs. And I compliment you guys because, quite honestly, that's a great, great opportunity for that part of the world down there. And also for students that come in there to work and work through their, through their education, not have a big debt load when they get out of school and that type of thing. And I highly commend you for even, going that route, because I think it's a new pathway, it's really good. So.
Well, let's get back to what you do. What are feedlots, what are packing houses looking for when they consider buying cattle of a certain breed, particularly Red Angus? What are they looking for in a Red Angus?
Okay. Well, feedlots today, I will just tell you, mostly what they're looking for is, and they do like, Angus cattle, black and red, quite honestly. They like those cattle because if you go to your packing plant or you go to the grocery store, wherever you go, and you look at a steak sitting there in the form that you're ready to put it on the grill. Well, there's one of those things that they really like to see, and that's that marbling, which would be those little flicks of fat scattered out throughout that steak. And that's something that we're all striving to increase the marbling in those steaks and that kind of stuff, because it gives you a little better flavor, a little more tender piece of meat. And I think everyone in the industry today is trying to produce a steak that has some of that marbling in it and that type of thing. Angus and Red Angus offer that value second to none. And
I was about to ask you about the value of the Angus breed over other breeds, and that is one of the values of that breed.
Right. Angus today, not necessarily Red Angus, but Angus, today have a very large meat program called CAB, or Certified Angus Beef. And quite honestly, today, that the way it stands today, that doesn't necessarily have anything to do with the Red Angus side at this point, but Red Angus came from Angus cattle. Okay. Just to give you an idea, same genetic base. They do have the Angus component has some recessive gene carriers of the red gene. It's where that Red Angus comes from. 1954, that breed was established to the point utilizing red genetics that came from Black Angus. And that's where that breed, derived from. So as far as their carcass qualities and those type of things, they're very similar from that standpoint. Just the hide color is different is really the determining difference.
I was going to ask you, what is the difference between a black and a red? And when a rancher or farmer is raising one of these, are they devoted to just one or the other, or do they mix? And are there mixing of the breeds? Tell us a little bit more about this.
There is some. All the Red Angus genetics actually came from the Black Angus side. I mean, it's because, like I said, there are certain Black Angus cattle that are red carriers per se. Okay, they have a recessive red gene, and if you mate those together, not every time, but a lot of times, you'll get a red calf. Okay, out of two black animals, and you'll get a red calf. Now, if you mate two of those red calves together, the way that genetics works, they always have a red calf. Okay, so that's the reason that the Red Angus breeds true once you breed them to each other. So, but we do have people that have blacks and reds across the country, but most people go one way or the other, quite honestly.
And why would you take one or the other? Why would one go black versus red or red versus black?
Well, the black from the standpoint today, as far as like the meat marketings and that kind of stuff, certainly has an advantage. There's no question about that. If you look at the red side, I think the cow and the maternal power and the feed efficiency of that Red Angus at this point, that's probably their strong suit at this point. I mean, that's something we talk about every day. You have to be efficient in your gains. In other words, how much feed does it take to produce a pound of beef? We're very efficient in that. Our cows or our mother cows are very, very good, very high quality. You know, one of the things that we tout in that Red Angus side is that red cow is America's favorite cow, quite honestly, from a maternal standpoint. She's about the right size. She's very efficient. She doesn't have a lot of problems. She raises a calf every year, those kind of things. So extremely important from that perspective. But as far as the actual just meat at the meat case today, there's no question that the black side of the Angus has an advantage, over all of the breeds at this point, quite honestly. But
So if I'm starting out brand new, have no invested interest in one or the other, and I'm sitting in front of you. Now, I know because of your position, you're going to tell me red, but let's just pretend that you're not in that position and sitting here, and maybe you can't, maybe you shouldn't, but I don't mean to put you on the spot, but would you tell me go black or red?
I would tell you that that's going to be a personal preference depending on kind of which direction that you're planning on going. If the mother cow is more important to you, then you might consider the red. If you're going to finish those cattle out at this point, the marketings on the black cattle, because of the pathway that has been laid out there today, probably has a little advantage on the black side. Your advantage with the Reds is probably on the production side at the ranch, and your inputs versus inputs on other cattle or potentially black cattle. So, it's all partly depending on, you know, your goal and that type of thing. I mean, we're the Red Angus side of it. We're arguably the third or fourth largest breed in the U.S. The Black Angus side of it is the largest breed in the U.S., no question. And, by quite a lot, quite honestly. Everyone doesn't want black ones. I'll just tell you, it's everyone has a little bit different opinion there sometimes. Again, kind of depending on your goals and what you're trying to do and that type of thing. Efficiency on the Red Angus side is very, very high. Feed conversion, like I said, the size and that kind of thing of the cow, in many cases, people prefer that. Very, very productive, very fertile. You know, don't have a lot of problems, that type of thing, I guess, if you will. So just depend on what your goal is, really. So
I'm learning all kinds of things, and I grew up with cattle. So here we go. Sort of shifting gears here a little bit. There are some other interesting aspects to your career. How long were you in the animal feed business? And what did you do when you were in the animal feed business?
Well, I did lots of things, but I was actually in that nutrition side of things roughly 36 years. That would span over three different corporations that I'd worked for. Spent almost 20 years with Purina people. Started out there as a young man, basically selling feed. And in those days, we would sell to all species. I mean, everything. We called on dairies, we called on beef cattle operations, we sold, you know, swine operations and that type of thing. And many of you may recall when farming was diversified. Today, farming is specific. It is not diversified. So most people don't do two or three things. They do one thing, try to do it well. So that's changed over the years tremendously. But almost 20 years with Purina. Spent 2.5 years with a company out of France that actually sold to the Purinas and the ADMs and the Cargills and people like that, the other feed companies. But that was a company that was one of the big three methionine companies in the world, and worked for them, like I said, about 2.5 years. Left there, went to work for a company called Hubbard, which is based out of Minnesota, which most feed companies are based either, Minnesota or up in that northern Midwest area. Worked for them for almost 14 years, and they are owned by a company called Alltech. Alltech's based out of Kentucky. Alltech has bought us about 6 years ago. Alltech's a very unique company in that they're a privately owned company. Started in 1980 with, probably a $10,000 investment by the founder. He was from Ireland, and as of last year, they're arguably worth somewhere in that $4 to $5 billion worth. Still privately owned.
Well, he had a good return on his investment, didn't he?
He did get a return on his investment, and he moved to this country from Ireland and started that company basically out of his vehicle, you know, selling and everything, and located to Kentucky. And today they're doing business in probably 140 countries across the world. Oh.
Is that who you were working with when you left there to go to Red Angus?
Yes. Yes. Okay. I worked with them. They are the largest yeast company in the world. They're the largest chelated mineral company in the world. They're very high level from the standpoint. They make a lot of things that go in nutrition products. Okay. And it was very interesting, very, very interesting company, very, very intense and very research driven, I would say. And,
so what got you to go from that company to the Red Angus Association?
Well, quite honestly, when COVID hit, the animal nutrition business became much more difficult, mostly because of trucking and logistics and that type of thing. And quite honestly, the last 2 or 3 years, it hadn't been near as much fun. I'll just be honest with you.
So I get that.
Simply because there were some obstacles in the way, and not because the products didn't work and not because, the company was doing anything wrong. It just became a bit of an issue. And I had someone call me about this Red Angus job and want to know if I'd be interested. And of course, my background, whether it be in the nutrition side or in my personal farm side, has always been in the purebred livestock business and in the cattle business. So,
Let's talk a little bit about that.
A lot to do with that. So,
did you grow up on a farm? Did you grow up in agriculture?
I did. My family was in registered Angus business growing up. We were diversified. We did have row crop operations, mainly feed production for the animals. and actually in Northeast Arkansas. So yes, we grew up that way, showing cattle, which I bring that up simply because I grew up as a little kid exhibiting animals at fairs and those type of things. And my children did that. Okay. I have three children, grown children, and they did that. And so today, one of the things we do on our farm is we actually raise Angus show animals, like they are purebred Angus animals, mostly females, mostly heifers. As a matter of fact, we just had a sale last week on Thursday, all online, and we send animals all over the United States for the most part. Just had one online, and I think we sent, six or eight states at least this time. So,
Now, one of the things that I like to ask our guests, especially those that grow up in agriculture, and this is a ministry to the agriculture community, particularly farmers. One of the things we like to say here is that it's okay to not be okay. We just want to help you not stay that way. And I'm surmising, knowing ag, raising cattle a little bit like I do, that not every year was a good year. It was not always roses and sunshine, but there would be some challenges along the way. And oftentimes those that stay in the ag community, stay in agriculture, grow up having been tested or watching their parents manage this. So what were some of the challenges that you watched your parents go through growing up in this, and you as a family, how you weathered that and what you bring out of that helps you today?
I think there's two or three things that I would tell you that I think are really important. First of all, in agriculture, you have a tremendous workload in most cases. And I know that has changed somewhat over the years, but it is a tremendous workload. Many cases, you also have a tremendous debt load. Yeah. Okay. That goes with that, particularly if you're a younger person and you're trying to grow and you're trying to progress, which most of us, have that kind of spirit, or we wouldn't be dealing with that workload. Okay. Quite honestly. So you've taken on quite a lot of debt to try to get this accomplished. All of us know at this point, it takes a lot of money to do what we do these days. There's no question about that. There's also the factor, I think, involved with the agriculture side, and it is a dangerous, occupation, quite honestly. It's probably the most dangerous occupation in the U.S., quite honestly, day in and day out. We're dealing with equipment. We're dealing with animals that sometimes they may like us, but they don't always act like they like us, so those type of things. So there's a propensity there for injuries and those kind of things. And so you have to deal with that. I think it isn't all prosperity all the time, even though I think there's a long view of these things that you have to take a long view of, your seasons and your production schedules and those type of things. I think obviously you have to be very optimistic in the fact that when you plant that seed or you have that baby calf born or that kind of thing, obviously that's, you have to have some optimism that God's going to produce that beef or raise that plant or whatever the case may be. You have to be that kind of spirit, I think, to do this. And many cases were that way. I mean, the comment that you made, I guess, about the mental health and that type of stuff. Yes, we're always very concerned about that in agriculture and with our farmers. You think that it's all family all the time. It isn't all the time. You have situations where if you're running an operation, you have a lot of pressure on you, to get that crop in or out or whatever the case may be. And, sometimes the weather doesn't participate. Sometimes that be drought or too much rain, you can't get the crop out or you can't get the cattle worked or, fed or whatever the case may be. It still has to be done. In my case, on the animal side, I would just tell you this. There's a lot of stress that goes along with, and personally hits me pretty hard from the standpoint that I never want the animals to be, to not have enough food. Okay. Meaning in a drought. And I worry about, do we have enough feed put up? Do we have, preparations made for that? And then, the other part of it is if you own animals, you're going to have some of them that are going to die. There's no question.
Yeah.
And that's very hard on me. It's very hard on, I think, the people in this industry. There are people think that believe that we mistreat animals in some cases in these farming operations. And I'm sure there are cases that have been that way. For the most part, we care for those animals as well as we care for our families, and they are part of our family. So,
yeah.
And it's stressful when you lose one. You know, if I lose a baby calf, it hurts me, quite honestly. You know, it hurts me more probably for the mother of the calf, or for the, you know, that the fact that she isn't going to be productive all year, more so than it does economically. Certainly we don't want that to happen, but it's harder on me mentally than it is economically, you know. So just to get right down to the things that go on in our heads, I guess, if you will. So
but, there's a lot of life learned growing up on a farm, isn't there?
Yes, sir. There sure is. You cannot learn
anywhere else.
Right. Good, bad, and otherwise, there's things that you'll have to deal with that if you haven't been grown up on a farm, if you have not grown up on the farm, then you may not understand death until one of your family dies. And you may not understand, you know, economically how it affects you. And if you're just going to a job and coming home and, you know, living in a house, you don't have all that, you may not understand that working to midnight, or, you know, working all night in some cases to get something done, you know.
Nope, so where I'm sitting, looks like growing up on a farm, you came out just fine.
Well, let's hope so.
I think so.
Try to have a well-rounded approach to things and a very optimistic approach to things. So
I have heard that you were the FFA state president. Is that true?
Boy, that's been a long time ago, you know. But yes, I was, and
growing up.
It was part of growing up, and afforded me some great opportunities. And I tell people that in this business, I tell a lot of young people, I go, and it gave me an opportunity to do a lot of things that I otherwise would not have been able to do, and some travel and some leadership opportunities, and quite honestly, some employment opportunities, you know, as I went on. So great organization, particularly at the grassroots level. And the gentleman that recommended that I be on this podcast, that's really where he and I crossed paths as well. So make a lot of lifelong friends in that organization, no question. So
good stuff. You got a family? Tell us a little bit about your family. And then I understand that you and your family raise show calves. Still doing that?
We do that. Yeah, we do. I have a family. My wife and I have been married, oh, I think 36 or 7 years. I'm supposed to remember
that
number
right before she hears this.
But anyway, been married a long time, and we have 3 grown children, have 4 grandchildren at this point. So, and those children were grown up on a farm, and then me working in agriculture as well. And my wife had a business here these last few years as well. So, you know, grown children, and they've grown up in this, and my sons, actually the 2 oldest children, they're both still involved in agriculture, even though they also have careers in their own right. One of them is in his career is in agriculture, but and when I talk about the show calves and the farm that we have and that kind of stuff, it is a family operation. Even though they aren't there every day, They have plenty of good advice. Okay. They provide plenty of good advice. I had someone ask me here a while back, said, are those boys still involved in the farm? I said, oh yeah. I said, they don't put any money in, they don't take any money out, but they sure got a lot of advice. Okay. So, but it's good advice. I shouldn't say that, but yeah, we work that thing together and talk almost every day about some aspect of that. And so that gives us a real opportunity to work together as well, even though they aren't right on the farm. But we raise show calves, Angus show calves, black Angus show calves at this point. It's all we've raised. And we have those.
The red Angus folks know that you're only showing black? Did you tell them that?
Knew that when they hired me, you know, I took the job. So.
Okay.
Yes. And my job and that I'm doing today has nothing to do with the show ring or show cattle at all. We're at 2 different aspects, 2 different ends of the spectrum here. So, but no, our family operation, basically what we do is we raise, we raise these show calves, bred to be show calves, even though they're registered Angus calves. And we have an online sale a couple times a year. And we just had one, like I said, last week. And I think this time we sent calves to 6 or 7 states. We had sales in the spring. And I think at that sale, we sent cattle we're in South Central Missouri. We sent cattle to New York and Oregon and South Georgia and Texas. And I think 10 or 11 states we sent cattle to from our spring sale. So, the internet's is a wonderful thing in one aspect. I will say that it spreads there's no end to your world. It just continues to go. So,
I've got one final question for you. I'm going to ask you to put on your profit prognostication hat here and sort of tell us what you think the future holds for cattle farming.
The immediate future for cattle farming is very, very optimistic in the fact that we're dealing, if you're listening to this and you have sold any cattle recently, you probably have a smile on your face because we're basically at all-time high prices right now. Now, we've taken a little dip the last week or two, but it's a temporary deal. Mm-hmm. And we're pretty much at an all-time high right now in at livestock markets and fat cattle at packing plants and that type of thing. We're pretty much right now either at all-time highs or right next to it, bumping right up against it, okay? We anticipate because the cattle industry is very cyclical, and it goes in typically in 3 to 5 year cycles and that type of thing. Back in 2014, 15, in that range, cattle were very high, and at that time was an all-time high, okay? And a lot of that has to do with supply and demand. So we are currently at about a 60-year low in cattle inventory in this country. And so, yes, supply and demand is going to drive that. There's no question about that. So the next 2, 3 years, 4 years possibly, we anticipate the markets being extremely high. And so if you own cattle today, you're sitting in the driver's seat. If you're looking to buy cattle, maybe not so much, okay? But you can, unless you're just trying to get in and learn and that type of thing. Now, I'm not telling you what you buy today is not going to go up in price because very likely it's going to. Right. And it's going to continue to be a good price for a while. But it isn't like you're starting at the bottom and then it's going to go crazy, which some people have done in the last 2 or 3 years. But the prices are going to be very, very inflated for the next 2, 3, 4 years and very good for farmers. Now, in between those cycles, it isn't too good. In many cases, it can get a little tough. So you kind of work your way between one cycle and the next. And as most things are, it isn't great all the time, but when it is good, it's really good. So you need to take advantage of that. So
I think you have pretty much just summarized the entirety of the agriculture life right there. When it's good, it's really good, but you better be prepared for when it's not.
Right. You better put a little in the storehouse for yourself there when it isn't too good. So yes, that's the nature of the business. There's no question about that. So,
well, Kelly, thank you. This has been really good. I've learned things I did not know, especially about the difference between red and black. I'm going to have to step back and rethink my whole worldview on cattle right here. But I appreciate your time. I am confident you have helped our listeners, and I hope that they're encouraged, hope they've been instructed, and I hope overall that this benefits somebody that may be thinking about getting to the cattle business. I'm sure if there are questions about this, that they can get online for the Red Angus Association of America and get contact information there and get in touch with you about how they can get into this or get more information about this. Would that be right?
Yes, sir. You certainly can. I would even give you my email address. If you have questions, I'd be happy to answer those questions for you. If you'd like, my email address is Kelly, just simply K-E-L-L-Y at redangus.org. And certainly we would answer those questions. If you have questions, reach out to us and we'll try to get those answered for you if we can. So
that's great. Thank you, Kelly. And I know I'm looking forward to sometime in the near future seeing some cattle that's as a result of your advocating for us at the processing plant. We want to contribute our own unique thing to helping our cattle farmers process their beef. So remember us in Walnut Ridge, we have our newly opened Eagle Farms processing plant. Helps our students.
You bet. I think it's a great venture. I compliment you on that whole thing, because I think you're going to do great things with that. So
thank you, my friend. Thank you. And again, thank you, listeners, for tuning in, downloading this podcast. And remember, keep the faith, keep farming.
You've been listening to That Farm Life, planting hope, harvesting strength, with your host, Stan Norman. That Farm Life is a creation of AgriHealth Network and is produced by Eagle Farms at Williams Baptist University. AgriHealth Network exists to offer opportunities to help you deal with the stress and strains of farm life through faith, family, and community with other farmers. You can learn more about AgriHealth Network at agrihealth.net and more about Williams at williamsbu.edu. That Farm Life is produced and edited by Mike Dixon. Chris Grady and Brett Cooper serve as executive producers, and Elizabeth Ring is our production assistant. Thanks for listening, and as always, keep farming and keep the faith.